Here is my subject today. I'm going to speak to you on the subject, God is good to them that seek Him. God is good to them that seek Him. Now, if you are accustomed to following in your Bibles when I speak on this telecast, this text is found in Lamentation chapter 3, verse 25. Lamentation 3:25. And that's what the Scripture says. The Lord is good unto them that wait for Him. The Lord is good to the soul that seeketh Him. The Lord is good to the soul that seeketh Him. And then over in the book of Ezra, chapter 8, verse 22, the Scripture says, the hand of the Lord is upon all them for good that seek Him, that seek Him. Now, the Word of God has much to say about seeking the Lord. And remember, the major emphasis when we're talking about seeking the Lord, the major emphasis is on seeking Him. Him, not seeking a feeling, not seeking an experience, not even seeking assurance, not even seeking correct doctrine. Because there are men who have doctrine who do not have Christ. There are men who are very orthodox and fundamental and exact in their theology who do not know Christ. So the emphasis in this thing of seeking the Lord is seeking the Lord, seeking Him, not a feeling, not an experience, not a doctrine, not even assurance that you're saved, because Satan can give you that. But we're talking about seeking the Lord Himself. Now listen to Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 13. Jeremiah, writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, for holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit, and all Scripture is God-breathed. And Jeremiah says in chapter 29, verse 13, ye shall seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. Now, do you see the emphasis? Our Lord said eternal life is to know God, is to know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent. It's not to have an experience. It's not to have religion or even orthodoxy. It's to know God. So what I'm saying is seeking the Lord. That's the subject. The Lord is good to them that seek Him. And then Job said this, I know that my Redeemer liveth. He didn't say, I know that I'm in the right nation or race or religion. He said, I know my Redeemer liveth. And David said, the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord Himself is my shepherd. Therefore, I shall not want. And Solomon, in that beautiful Song of Solomon, he said, I have found Him whom my soul loveth. I have found Him whom my soul loveth. And I held Him and would not let Him go. And then the Apostle Paul, and I've often said this on this telecast and other places, Paul said, I know whom I have believed. Notice, Paul knew when he believed. He knew what he believed, but that wasn't the emphasis. It's not, I know when I believed. I know when I was saved. I know when I had an experience. He said, I know whom I have believed. I know whom. So I wish there was some way. I wish I had the vocabulary, I wish I had the ability to convey to all that hear me that salvation and eternal life is not in an experience. Salvation and eternal life is not in the moral law. Salvation and eternal life is not being in the right church. Salvation and eternal life is not having orthodoxy and doctrine and theology and even a knowledge of Scripture. But salvation and eternal life is in the right person. Now, all these have their proper place. The moral law has its proper place. The church has its proper place. Baptism, the Lord's table, ordinances, doctrine, theology, the study of Scripture. But my friend, salvation's a person. Salvation and eternal life is a person. It's in being in the right person, the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, God the Father hath given all things into the hands of His Son. That's where the Father's put everything. He didn't put it in the church. He put it in Christ. The Heavenly Father has put everything in the hands of His divine Son. That's what the Scripture says in Colossians. In Him dwelleth, not there today and gone tomorrow, dwelleth habitually, continually. In Christ dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you're complete in Christ, who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. He said, if the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. If the Son make you free, because He has the authority to set you free. You see, He has all authority over all flesh to give eternal life to as many as the Father hath given Him. And He has all authority in heaven and earth. And no man knoweth the Father save the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal Him. And as the Father quickeneth whom He will, even so the Son quickeneth whom He will. Christ said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I'll give you rest. Rest is His to give. My peace I give unto you. Peace is His to give. You see, all things are in Him. And these all things are spiritual blessings in the heavenlies are mine as a direct result of my union with Christ. Without Him, I can do nothing. Without Him, I am nothing. Without Him, I have nothing. But in Him and through Him and because of Him and for His glory, I have all things. And that union with Him is by faith. So therefore, we exhort it again and again and again in God's Word to seek the Lord. Seek the Lord, to look unto Him and be saved. And I emphasize over and over again, it's to seek Him, Him. The Lord is good to them that seek Him, to those who wait upon Him. Now let me show you several scriptures today which deal with this subject, seeking the Lord, and the goodness of God extended to those who seek Him. And you determine for yourself whether you have ever sought the Lord. Or if you're now seeking the Lord, you can determine by these scriptures right here if you are in fact seeking the Lord or if you've ever sought the Lord. Now, here's the first one. It's found in 1 Chronicles. If you'd like to, take a pencil and write these scriptures down and go back later and study them. You know, this is what the book of Acts says about the Bereans. They were called the noble Bereans. They were more noble than those in Thessalonica, I believe it said, because they searched the Scriptures to see if these things be so. And that's what I exhort you to do. Search the Scriptures to see if these things be so. I believe they're so. I believe they're taught in the Word of God. But here are seven Scriptures, six or seven, about those who seek the Lord. And the Lord is good to them that seek Him. First of all, those who seek the Lord seek Him. Him. Continually. In 1 Chronicles 16, 10 and 11, it says this, let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord continually, continually. Now, my friends, everyone gets religious occasionally. People get religious when somebody gets sick. You can have an accident on the highway and somebody's hurt critically and in a coma, and the preachers will all come around the room and all the relatives will come and everybody start talking religion and get religious, and the preachers will try to get a profession of faith out of everybody. Or someone dies and everybody gets religion. Or during Easter, everybody gets religion, goes down to the football stadium before sunup. And Christmas, everybody gets religion. Or when trouble comes in the home or in the family, people get religious and they call on God. And folks get religious, you know, occasionally. Everybody starts thinking about death or heaven or hell or God or something occasionally. And then some people get religious every Sunday. There are some people who go to church and fulfill their duties as church members every Sunday. But those who seek the Lord, who truly seek the Lord, do so continually. Every day is the Lord's day. Every event is under His care. They seek the Lord continually. It's not a spasmodic thing. It's not hot today and cold tomorrow. Their hearts are set on God. The Scripture says they rejoice evermore. It says they pray without ceasing. That is, they live in an attitude of communion and fellowship with God. And then they walk in the Spirit. And then they walk in the light. This is their walk. When it talks about your walk, we're talking about your general trend or bent of the will, trend of life, tenor of your life. That's your walk. These people who seek the Lord, they seek the Lord continually. They walk in the light as He is in the light. They have fellowship one with another. They feed upon His Word. Their relationship with the living God is an unbroken relationship of trust and rest. And it's not a thing that's hot and cold and here today and gone tomorrow and on special occasions or feast days or Sabbath days or this sort of thing. Every day is the Lord's day. This is the day the Lord hath made. We'll rejoice and be glad therein. So that's the first thing. People who truly, sincerely seek the Lord, seek Him continually. And then the second scripture is found in Psalm 119, verse 2. It says this, "Blessed are they that keep His word and that seek the Lord with the whole heart." The whole heart. And then Jeremiah 29, I quoted this a few moments ago. It said, "Ye shall seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart." So secondly, those who seek the Lord in truth seek Him in heart. They seek Him with the heart. Now the heart, a lot of people have trouble with this. The heart, when it talks about the heart in the Scriptures, it's not talking about this organ that pumps blood. That's not the heart. That organ has nothing more to do with your emotions or spiritual life than your liver or your lungs or your stomach or any other kidney or any other organ. I hear people talk about when the doctor transplanted this artificial heart in this man, or even talked about the heart of a baboon and so forth. Everybody got upset. What will his love be? What will his affections be? My friends, the heart is just an organ that pumps blood. Has a lot to do with the individual's health, has a lot to do with his life, but this, when the Scripture talks about your heart, it's talking about your real self. It's not talking about that organ. My true thoughts, my true self, my true affections, my true devotion, that's the heart. When the Scripture says, "My son, give me your heart," God's not talking about give me this organ that pumps blood. He's talking about give me the real you, your real affections, your real devotion, your very soul. You know, Peter said to Simon Magus, when Simon was baptized and then wanted to buy the power to bestow the Holy Ghost upon people, he said, "I'll give you money for this gift." And Peter said, "Your heart's not right with God." Didn't mean he had a bad organ that pumped blood. It means he had a bad attitude, had a bad spirit. His inner self wasn't right with God. The Scripture says, "Keep thy heart, for out of it are the issues of life." It says, "As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he." So what I'm saying is this, those who seek the Lord, they're not playing a game. This seeking of the Lord is not a game. It's not a fad. It's not an impulse. It's a heart work. It's what I want. It's what my soul longeth for, the living God. Romans 10, 9 and 10 says, "If thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus to be Lord and believe in thine heart," in your true self, in your inner being, where your true affections lie, then you'll be saved if you can believe in your heart. That's what Philip asked the Ethiopian eunuch on the road to Ethiopia. He said, "What doth hinder me from being baptized?" And Philip said, "If you believe with all your heart, you may." He said, "I believe that Jesus is the Son of God." Now, thirdly, those who seek the Lord seek Him in truth. Psalm 145, verse 18 says this, "The Lord is nigh unto them that call upon Him, to them who seek Him in truth." Now, listen to me. Don't get upset. And don't get your feelings hurt. And don't get offended. But I know that many people have the idea that it really doesn't matter what a person believes, as far as religion is concerned, as far as God and sin and salvation and Jesus Christ and heaven and hell. It really doesn't matter what a person believes. That's what they tell me. Just so he's sincere. Let's all get together and resolve our differences, because we're all going to the same place, we're just traveling different roads. Well, my friends, it does matter what you believe, if the Bible is the Word of God, and it is. That's why God has given us His Word. He said, these things are written, that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, and that believing you might have life in His name. He said in Isaiah, if they speak not according to the Word of God, it's because there's no light in them. And 1 John 5:20 says this, the Son of God hath come and hath given us understanding, that we may know Him that is true, and that we're in Him that is true, even in His Son Jesus Christ. And this is the truth. This is the true God. And this is eternal life. Let God be true and every man a liar. Let our faith concerning God be determined by the Word of God. Let our understanding in regard to sin be determined by the Word of God. Let our beliefs concerning Jesus Christ, who He is, what He did, where He is now, be determined by the Word of God. This is our foundation of faith. The Bible tells us that God is holy. Now, we're not permitted to change that. The Bible tells us that God is righteous, that God is just, that God will by no means clear the guilty, that God is love. We're not allowed to change that. The Bible tells us that men are fallen, guilty creatures. They fell in Adam, as in Adam all die. And we're not allowed to change that. That we're without hope, without help, without strength, without God, without Christ in this world. We're not allowed to change that. If we understand our condition and our sins, we've got to understand it in the light of the Scriptures. And then the Scripture says Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the chief. That He came to seek and to save the lost. We're not allowed to change that. We're not permitted to alter that. The Scripture says by faith we're justified. By faith we are redeemed. We receive Christ. We look to Christ. We find rest in Him. And He of God is made unto us all we need, wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. It's in Him. And He was made sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. We're not permitted to change that. It does matter what we believe. It doesn't matter what a man believes as long as he believes the Scriptures, because the Scriptures are one. They're unbroken, infallible, consistent with the Scriptures. But those who seek the Lord seek Him in truth. And then fourthly, those who seek the Lord. Now watch this. These who genuinely seek God, they seek Him, they seek Him continually, they seek Him with all the heart, they seek Him in truth, according to the Word, and they seek Him remembering their sins, remembering who they are and what they are, their unworthiness, their inability, their uncleanness. That it's mercy that we're seeking, not justice. That it's grace we're seeking. We're not seeking a reward. We're seeking grace. Listen to Isaiah 51:1. Ye that seek the Lord, look to the rock from which you were hewn. Look to the pit from which you were dug. Remember that. The blind man whom our Lord healed, somebody asked him to tell them what had happened. He said, I just know I was blind. And now I see. I know where I was. I know what I was. And I know that a man named Jesus Christ made me whole. I know that. And I know what I was. And you know what you were. Fallen, guilty sons of Adam. Unclean, like the lepers of old. A blasphemer, Paul said. I was a blasphemer. I was injurious. But I obtained mercy. I know what I am now. I am what I am by the grace of God. I know that I'm a sinner saved by His grace. I know that in my flesh dwelleth no good thing, but in my Lord dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead. I know what I shall be. I shall be satisfied when I awake with His likeness. So those that seek the Lord seek Him with a consciousness that it's mercy they're seeking. The publican came and said, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. The Canaanite woman said, Lord, have mercy upon me. Blind Bartimaeus said, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy upon me. I remember the rock from which I was hewn and the pit from which I was dug. Yes, sir. We know what we were. And we know who he is. And we know how he did it. Not by our works, but by his own mercy in Christ Jesus. And then in the fifth place, those that seek the Lord seek him with a single purpose. A single purpose. And that is found in Psalm 27:4. Listen to David. One thing. One thing. That's getting it down pretty close, isn't it? One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after. Wonder what that is. Riches, honor, glory in the flesh, long life. One thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after. Listen to it. That I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. That's the one single purpose in seeking the Lord. His presence and his glory. He said, one thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord, in the presence of the Lord, all the days of my life, to behold his beauty and his glory. You know, that's what Abraham looked for, a city. A city not made with hands. A city eternal in the heavens. That's what Job is saying. In my flesh, I'm going to see the Lord. I'm going to see the Lord. That's what Paul is saying. I have a desire to depart. I'm in a strait betwixt the two. I have a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. That's what David's talking about when he said, I'll be satisfied. And only then will I be satisfied when I awake with his likeness. A man just can't have two goals, especially when they're in opposite directions. A man just can't serve two masters. Christ said you can't do it. Not two masters. And either God or mammon, it cannot be both. Scripture says, set your affections on things above. Set your affection, that's singular, on things above, not on the things of this earth. Where your treasure is, there's where your heart will be. Those that seek the Lord seek him with a single purpose. This is my objective. This is my end. This is my goal, to know him whom to know is life eternal. And then in the next place, those that seek the Lord. Now listen to this carefully. Those that seek the Lord seek him while he may be found. While he may be found. Over in Isaiah chapter 55, verse 6, this is what it says. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Wouldn't you say for me and for you, that's right now? Sort of like Paul wrote, now is the accepted time. Behold, today is the day of salvation. While I still have my faculties, while I still have some power to reason, and reason, that's exactly the word I meant to use. Our God says in Isaiah 1, come let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. While I still have my power to reason, while I still have my faculties, while I still have an interest in these things, not when old age comes and I say I have no more interest, I have no more pleasure in these things, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Now, I'm not talking about a cutoff date. I'm not talking about a deadline. But there's something in the Scripture here, and I want you to turn to Proverbs 1, verse 24. I'm saying that there is a day of grace. There's a day of common grace, and there's a day of a general call, and there's a day when the gospel is heard. There's a day when God sends his servant and he preaches and he opens the word and reads the word and men hear the word and they hear the gospel. This is what our Lord Jesus was talking about to Capernaum. He said, woe unto thee, Capernaum, woe unto thee, Bethsaida, if the mighty works which are done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon or Sodom and Gomorrah, they would have repented. They would have remained to this day. But mighty works were done, and you're going to be responsible for what you've heard, what you've seen, What you witnessed, you're going to be responsible. Listen to Proverbs 1, verse 24. Now listen to it. God says, because I have called and you have refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. You have set at naught my counsel, my word, my warnings, and you would none of my reproof. You wouldn't have my reproof. Therefore, now listen to this. One day you'll call on me, and I will not answer. One day ye shall seek me, and you shall not find me. Those that seek the Lord, he said the Lord is good to them who seek him. The Lord is good to all them that seek him, to those that wait upon him. But they seek the Lord continually, and they seek the Lord with all their hearts, and they seek the Lord in truth, and they seek the Lord remembering their sins, remembering his mercy upon their sins. And they seek the Lord with a single purpose, that they might know him. That Paul said, that I might win Christ and be found in him, that I might know him and the power of his resurrection. And those who seek the Lord and find the Lord, seek the Lord while he may be found. While he may be found. I don't know, the gospel may be removed from you, or you may be removed from the gospel, or the day may come when you have no more interest in the Bible or in the gospel or in the things of God. No more interest in these spiritual matters. But right now you do, or you wouldn't have tuned into this broadcast. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he's near. For the Lord is good unto them that seek him.